right, before we get into our next little exercise that is going to require some listener involvement, by the way, I want to point this out. I saw this on Twitter, and I think this is fabulous. Japan's theme parks have banned screaming on roller coasters because it spreads coronavirus. Do you know what they're telling their riders, their patrons?
No.
Quote, please scream inside your heart.
It's my inner monologue at all time anyway.
Please scream inside your heart.
How could you? Some of that is involuntary, though. It's caused by the element of surprise, of shock, of sudden, you know, change. How could you prevent yourself from screaming 100% of the time?
I don't think screaming is involuntary.
What are you talking about?
I don't think it's involuntary at all.
Maybe not
at
for you.
At amusement parks, no.
If you turned around right now and there was like a wolf man that was about to jump on you,
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So okay.
A lot of
but if I'm on an amusement park ride and it's going for it's not behind me. I'm not getting worried about what's behind me when I'm on a roller coaster.
That's well, yeah,
I can see what's in front of me, and I'm going there really fast.
Not if the person behind
and
you
I'm
gets sick.
And I'm keeping my mouth shut so I don't get insects in my mouth.
If I maybe not a sustained scream, but a lot of times a roller coaster will be you know round and round, up and down, and all of a sudden a quick drop. Oh, one of those just I don't know. How would they enforce that?
Well.
They're going to monitor you in the middle of a ride?
I'm not sure what you just did qualifies as a scream, though.
Right, so you were saying that sustained, that's annoying anyway.
Like you do when you're going down Splash Mountain.
That is part of the fun.
I guess. Yeah, it is kind of, yeah, I agree. That's probably what they're doing. They're probably telling people who are doing it for fun, not out of fear.
Right.
To zip it, to scream inside your heart. Keep that in mind, Carl.
Have you ever been to a theme park in another country?
Yeah, last summer.
In France? Did you go to France? Where did I come up with that?
You idiot. I was in Tokyo,
oh,
you
Tokyo.
Idiot.
Did you go to...
I went to Tokyo Disney, yeah. It was phenomenal.
Really? Was it much different?
It was incredible. It was different. It was... I don't even know how to explain it. It was awesome.
Did you encounter a lot of screaming?
No.
All right, so
no.
Maybe it's not that big a problem there.
Okay, so that I wanted to share that with people because I find that to be cute. All right, here is a topic that we are going to ask people to contribute with on Twitter, Bickley and Murata.
Yeah, Bickley underscore Murata.
Right, exactly. And it's really going to come down to this. It's going to spin off the topic that LeBron James and the Lakers are going to the bubble, and if they win a championship, that's going to be LeBron's fourth. And we know LeBron James is chasing Michael Jordan. We know that Michael Jordan's last dance just hit, and obviously it made an impact because current NBA players like Terry Rozier weren't even aware that Michael had six titles. Okay. So it had an impact. I mean, there were guys in the Charlotte Hornets going, man, I had no idea Mike was that good. It's like, see, this is what happens. This is what happens to the aging sports hero.
I didn't know he played for anyone other than the Wizards.
Right. See, that's what I'm talking about.
He played for a team before the Wizards? Wow.
Right. So with that in mind, the question becomes, is that championship going to be asterisked or is it not? So
metaphorically.
So here's what happened on the way in today.
It won't literally.
Right,
be.
Right. Metaphorically. So on the way into the radio station today, I stopped at the store and I bought 10 asterisks. That's all I could buy. They were kind of expensive.
Well, it is a
so we
pandemic.
Have, we have to give out 10 asterisks to sports figures.
I love how beautifully you're pronouncing it, too.
Asterisks?
Yeah, oh, asterisks,
yeah.
People
yeah.
say?
Right. No, you got to...
Asterisks,
It's a word
say?
You got to hit like an expert skier on the slopes.
Yeah, you got to slalom right around that word.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what you do. You can't snowplow
that's right.
your way to asterisk.
That's true.
All right, so we will appreciate your help on Twitter. Who do we need? What should be asterisked? There are people who believe LeBron James and the Lakers, any NBA team that wins a championship in the bubble in 2020 will be asterisked. And the precedent will be the 1999 San Antonio Spurs, who won an NBA championship during a lockout shortened season. And Phil Jackson, head coach of the Lakers at the time, said that should be asterisked.
Well, it was one of the few titles in a 15-year stretch that Phil didn't win, so
right.
I can understand.
So, well, that's of course he did.
Now, as before you continue,
mm-hmm.
you will agree there are two types of asterisks, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is the type where, like this year's, you know, post-pandemic hockey and basketball and baseball seasons that are completely unusual and different than every other season. So that's what makes them different. That's why they should get an asterisk. The other type of asterisk, we'll call it the Barry Bonds or Lance Armstrong.
The infamous asterisk.
The infamous, where everything was normal except for the person who set a record. They had an advantage. They had some sort of a legal advantage, a cheating advantage, whatever it was that made them different from everybody else, which is why they should get the asterisk.
I'm not sure I agree with your premise. I think an asterisk.
There you go.
I just tumbled.
Right there.
Yeah, I just
gotta
went.
Watch out.
I just went skis over elbows.
Yep.
All right.
Face planted in the snow right there.
I did. I would counter and say an asterisk is just something to designate a caveat that this record, this achievement, this person, this thing you're looking at demands further explanation or
There's something
context.
Different about this.
You're right. It demands further context. So in the world of sports, so if I've got 10 of them to give away, I'm going to give away, I definitely have to give one to the Houston Astros. In when they win, 2017, when was their title?
Yeah. 2017.
Okay. They're getting one asterisk. I'm giving the 2001 New England Patriots an asterisk.
Hmm.
Can for you, Spygate.
So you couldn't give them an asterisk in general?
I don't know if that's fair.
Because Spygate was later than that. That was the year before they went undefeated and then lost, right?
No. The Patriots were fined for, well, you're right. They might have been fired for the Jets debacle.
Right.
But there's a lot of people.
Mangino told on
there are Right, exactly. But there are a lot of people who have believed and said that they had taped the Rams illegally
right.
during a walkthrough in the Super Bowl in
right.
New Orleans. Okay, it's their first championship under Bill Belichick anyways. That's why it's getting asterisked.
Okay.
Okay? Because then it kind of like...
Taints the whole era.
Right, exactly.
Which also included Deflategate, which also included last year's Spygate.
It never ends, does it?
Which also included several of their better players testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs.
Uh-huh.
So, yes.
All right. Let's get on to Major League Baseball here, because I think this is where I'm going to end up using a lot of my asterisks. Barry Bonds definitely gets one. All-time home run leader, 762.
And single-season leader.
Sammy Sosa definitely gets one. Over 600 home runs. The only guy in history to have three consecutive 60 or more home runs.
You're going to run out of asterisks very quickly if you go player by player in baseball.
I know. But they deserve their own asterisks. I told you, I only had money for 10 of them.
Yeah. Mark McGwire.
Mark McGwire gets an asterisk.
Can't give it to Sosa without McGwire.
The question becomes, do I give A-Rod an asterisk?
Yeah.
Yes.
Statistically, one of the greatest players in history.
So that's four. So that's four baseball players.
Roger Clemens.
And two teams. Oh. Yeah. Roger Clemens gets one.
That's five players right there.
And I've got two teams, so I only have three asterisks left.
I think you... I would forgive you.
Well, who
you.
Else do I have to give asterisks to?
Lance Armstrong?
Lance Armstrong. Definitely. So now I'm only down to two?
Now you're down to two. And you haven't even... I mean, you've gone with the most literal ones.
Okay, but I'm not going to give the Spurs championship in 1999 an asterisk. Because it was shortened by a lockout. They still played how many games that year? 50?
I'll see. And that was 99?
Yeah. Even though Phil Jackson wants that achievement to be asterisk, the bigger question becomes, what do you do with sports in the bubble? If I've got...
Yeah, but then why give LeBron an asterisk this year? They're playing almost...
I'm not saying I am.
They're going to... Oh, okay. They're playing almost a full season by the time everything's done.
I'm not saying I am. But there are people who hate the Lakers and hate LeBron who will want to asterisk LeBron James regardless.
See, that's why I was trying to distinguish between it, because... The asterisk for a shortened season, a strike season, stuff like that. Every team is playing under the same rules and playing in the same. It is different than all other seasons, but it doesn't mean that the team or the player should be punished. And a lot of times if you see an asterisk, like the original use of the asterisk in sports was the Roger Maris home run record, because he broke the record in 162 games instead of 154, which Babe Ruth played.
Yeah, you're right, because that's not a level playing field. But that gets
really
murky.
But people also complain that they should have never done that. Do you put asterisks under records that were set before they broke the color barrier in professional sports?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's no.
Do you put, you know, when they before they played night games, before they long road trips, like,
no,
when things were totally different, like
no, that's that.
But shouldn't there be a way to distinguish events in that part of history from current events where things are not the same, where winning a championship is not the same, where setting records is not the same?
Listen, there is no doubt that Major League Baseball pre Jackie Robinson was not representative of the best baseball players in America. There's no doubt about that. But that's what Major League Baseball was. I think in the case of asterisk, all right, I want to give them to individual teams for reasons of ill repute. Like, oh, here you go. Here's one that just popped into my head. The 1972 Soviet Union basketball team.
Yes. How about, there's lots of Olympic ones.
There are still people who believe that the U.S. didn't get jobbed in that whole thing.
Their names are Vladimir and Rusev and Sergey.
And Putin. Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? It was fair game. It was good. Come on.
All right, so they're getting one. So I only have one left?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, here's an interesting one that we've brought up on the show in other contexts. The Armando Galarraga perfect game.
Oh.
That on the last out of the entire game got negated.
That's such a good one. But what do you do? What do you asterisk there? Because it's just a regular season win.
It's true. So you'd almost have to give it to him and then put an asterisk.
I think that's I might do that.
Somebody tweeted us.
Uh-huh.
And you might know what he's referring to, because I don't. Stuart Sink 2009 Open Championship win. Does that mean anything to you?
I'm sure I'll probably remember it if you can flesh it out.
Yeah, I'll have to. No, this is, he didn't even win that. I don't know. I'll figure this out. I thought maybe that would. No, he did. He won. Stuart Sink. He won in a playoff against Tom Watson. I don't know. We'll get back to this later, and I'll figure out what the heck they're talking about. And
now you've got me very, very curious about that.
How about anything? Is there anything that comes to mind about, all right, so some people, and I've seen this especially when we were talking about The Last Dance, they will give the two Rockets NBA championships asterisks.
It's because Jordan retired.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that, because then you're just assuming that Michael Jordan would have kept winning. Even though I believe that, I don't think you can assume that, right? So I don't think that fits. I think the bigger question here is, how do you think it's going to look in the NBA? All right, let's play along with this. They start playing playoff series, and they're playing without fans, and teams are starting to leave, and now you've got a series, an NBA Finals series going on between two teams without fans in the building. So the NBA Finals itself, they're going to be sorely missing the pomp, the pageantry, the bells and whistles. Is that going to make it feel cheaper?
Yeah.
Because you could make an
where's
argument.
Where's the pomp is what I'll say.
Well, that's exactly. But I'm just saying.
That's one of the first times I've ever heard somebody use the word pomp without following it up with circumstances. It's usually pomp and circumstance. So very well done.
Well, thank you.
We'll have to first see how different everything feels. But not having the crowd during a NBA Finals is going to be so different.
Yeah. And I don't know, and not having any of the other teams left there is going to be different. What's going to happen? Is Adam Silver going to come onto the court and present a trophy? Who would they even talk to? Are you going to hand him a microphone?
Will the players accidentally grab Adam Silver thinking he is the microphone?
It could happen.
And it looks like that.
Could happen. So I wonder whether the optics of this are going to affect the way people look at this. And I don't think it's going to be fair to LeBron James, but I guarantee you it's going to be part of it. Because if LeBron wins, it's going to be one of these triumphs. LeBron is going to have that thing following him here as Michael Jordan had his say a couple of months ago. What do you got?
And let's face it, you can make the argument that winning a title under these crazy circumstances is more difficult than usual.
Yeah.
After taking 4 months off and then you're going against teams where everybody's rested and everybody's sort of starting from ground zero at the same time, that if you could survive this gauntlet, then it's almost more impressive. And if you're going to put an asterisk, it should be an asterisk for good.
Now, how about this? Because I agree with everything you're saying. They've played most of their regular season. They're going to play 8 more regular season games. They're going to play a potentially expanded playoff. So there's nothing condensed really about this to hold it against them.
If anything, it's condensed because they will have less off days.
Right. And the optics of it. So the optics of it are going to matter. But what happens if, say, LeBron comes out in the Western Conference semis, takes out the Houston Rockets with an epic performance, and people are like, okay, he is now providing a rebuttal to The Last Dance. He's making another case. And then suddenly Kawhi Leonard and Paul George come down with COVID-19. And now, through no fault of his own, you're playing an opponent that's been decimated.
So that's what reminded me of one of the other potential asterisks that I wanted to hand out.
Mm-hmm.
The Toronto Raptors championship last year.
All right.
Because while it was very impressive, Kawhi Leonard was unbelievable. They played a Warriors team that was not the Warriors. And a Warriors team that if they had Curry, Durant, Klay Thompson healthy, most people think that they would have won that championship. So that reminded me of what you just said, that if LeBron goes through this gauntlet, but then once they play their best opponent, say the Clippers, they're not the normal Clippers. And that to me is more asterisk worthy than just because the situation that everybody's facing at the same time, which is a crazy schedule.
Yeah. So I think a lot of this is going to be in play, and a lot of this will be used against LeBron James.
But here's the thing. All right, so,
if he wins, because that's what people do when it comes to LeBron James.
So Michael Jordan, everybody says, he won 6 championships in a row when he played, but he didn't, because he came back and he lost in the playoffs in the middle of that 6-peat. Nobody counts that because they say, he didn't play a full season, it was different circumstances, whatever. So they put an asterisk there to help him. Whereas for a similar kind of a thing with LeBron James, they would put the asterisk to hurt him. I don't know if that's a direct comparison, but it's just saying that there are other scenarios where unusual circumstances have led to situations where we don't count them like normal.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to be normal about any of these resumed seasons, whether it's baseball, basketball, or hockey, and you'll always remember that this was a weird season.
You can cut this any way you want. There are people who watched The Last Dance and felt, man, Michael Jordan got robbed out of a couple of more championships based on ownership and a whack GM in Chicago. Then there are people who go, yeah, but you know what? He's got the perfect alibi because he never had to lose it on the court. He never had to go through that moment of indignity. That came in Washington. That came later. But he never had to lose what he won on the court.
And those two teams that won the championships were two completely different teams, right? Only Pippen and Jordan won more than 3 championships with the Bulls.
Right.
So those two transition years, who knows what they would have been like. And I always say that he's very lucky that they never had to play the Rockets. Because that Rockets team was really good,
uh-huh.
and they had a dominant center, which they never had to play in the finals.
I do know that, and I do agree with that. But once again, if you watch The Last Dance, you should know now it would not have mattered.
I don't agree.
But, all right,
had this argument.
Now, so I think what I'm going to do, I think I might have to... what do you think about the baseball... if baseball gets to a champion out of 60 games, that is such a shortened season.
Yeah, that is far, far more of an asterisk.
That's where I'm giving my last
than
asterisk.
NBA or NHL.
I'm going to give it to the 2020 Major League Baseball season
because it doesn't.
And I hope
resemble.
I get to award it.
It's not even half. It's not even half a season. It's almost a third of a normal season. So that completely will be different. In fact, I wonder if they will make special notations on it. You have to. Is there anything else worth it? I put it on Twitter. We'll get back to it in social studies if there's anything obvious that we're missing.
Okay, sounds good. All right, up on the other side, we'll talk Major League Baseball with Steve Gilbert. That's next. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin. You're listening to 98.7 FM. Welcome back, Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin. You're really funking up the show music beds, aren't you? You're really getting crazy with this stuff.
Yes, funking up. Yes, that's
funking
right.
it up.
Yeah.
Careful with that, right?
I know. I was nervous for a second there.
All right, for an inside look at what's happening with the Arizona Diamondbacks, our great pleasure to welcome in our great friend from MLB.com, covers the Diamondbacks. He is Steve Gilbert. Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you doing today? That's awful. Hopefully Jared has his finger on that dump button if you're going to be talking about music like that.
You never know what you're going to get from Jared Carlin on a day-to-day basis, but I think you're aware of that by now. You do know that, right? Exactly.
I feel confident with Jared on the dump button, so I'm feeling good.
All right. So, how are you feeling about this baseball team? From my vantage point, okay, let's examine what's happened here. They've lost Mike Leake. Cole Calhoun is COVID-19, and I'm not sure if you have any information on whether he plans on coming back. And then the news of Seth Beer. But other than that, it seems like everybody is into this and being diligent about what they're doing. Give us an update from what you're seeing.
Yeah, you know, I think that you know, you see yesterday the pictures of Eduardo Escobar wearing a mask even when he's doing drills. I think every team knows they have to take this seriously because they want to keep their guys healthy if they're going to win this year. And, I mean, it's a dual thing. It's also health, but it's also, you know, the team that stays on the field, the team that keeps its guys the healthiest, is likely to do better over the course of this short season. So from what we understand, they've been taking it very seriously. All the meetings and stuff take place outside in the stands or on the field with players separated by 6 feet if possible. So they're trying to take all those precautions. From what we understand, you know, Cole Calhoun will be back when those tests test negative and when he tests negative for a certain period of time. And the only person to elect not to play has been Mike Leake.
Yep. All right. So with that in mind, when the schedule was released, how did that information apply to the Diamondbacks? What struck you to actually seeing the sequencing of opponents on the Diamondbacks schedule?
You know, it's funny. You never know what's going to happen in a 60-game schedule because we've never seen one before. But a couple things that jumped out to me were, I think it's an advantage for them. You know, you get certain division opponents. You play 10 games against them. 7 of them are going to be at home, and 3 of them are going to be on the road. And they get the Dodgers 7 to 10 times at home. And I think that's certainly a positive for them. How much of an advantage that is, I don't know, with no fans in the stands. But I think that's a positive for them. They close at home. That's probably a net positive for them. You know, they don't have to go all the way up to Seattle for a series, so that's good. They get Seattle at home. Again, it's hard to read into all that stuff, but I think those are a couple things that jumped out to me as being maybe advantages for them. Obviously, it's tough playing in the AL West teams. There's some really quality opponents over there. But
yeah,
60-game schedule, Bick, I think, you know, you look at them against the Dodgers, and a lot of people were hopeful this year that even if they couldn't catch the Dodgers, they would be a wild card contender because, you know, Dodgers over 162 games, the depth, the financial resources they had, all that stuff adds up over 162 games. But I think in a 60-game sprint, The Diamondbacks even have a better shot at possibly getting hot and winning the division, if not a wild card.
Yeah, I hope you're right about that. When you look at this, I'm curious what you think about this, because baseball players made it clear that playing in some sort of a bubble was a non-starter. They decided that very early on, and here we are. What do you think their chances of getting to the season and finishing the season are?
Well, I think it depends on, you know, how they're able to kind of go through guys getting sick, because I think that's, it almost seems inevitable that guys, and we were seeing it already, guys testing positive. And then you start to throw, you know, buses and planes into the mix and travel and a whole range of things, as you're referring to, by not being in a bubble. So I think as long as it doesn't become an outbreak that takes down too many teams or makes teams not able to field a team, I think they're going to try to get through this thing. Whether or not it works with all the testing, there's so many moving parts. And I think, you know, you listen to managers talking across the league right now, and our good friend Craig Counsell said something a couple of days ago. He said the season itself is not even on his radar right now, just trying to coordinate how they get through these days and these workouts and get guys spaced out and tested and make sure that there's no big gatherings, and all of that is kind of what's taken up most of his time. And I think they're trying to work out something that's been, you know, an unprecedented situation, and they don't really have a playbook for it. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they're able to pull all this off.
The idea that baseball players are being told that they're going to have to be the best teammates they've ever been, where do you think the Diamondbacks fall on that scale, given the fact that they're going to be playing baseball games in an area right now that's very dangerous in terms of this global pandemic?
Yeah, I think that they seem to have a very responsible group. They've been a very close-knit group. They have some really strong leaders in that clubhouse, whether you're talking about Nick Ahmed or Escobar or Peralta. I mean, they've got guys in there that are going to step up, I think, and have made it clear that, hey, everybody has to take this seriously, because if one person doesn't take it seriously, that can hurt it for everybody. And so I think that the teams that have the best leadership and the teams that are able to kind of follow those rules will probably stay the healthiest and give themselves the best shot. So I think that's certainly very important to all these guys.
The Diamondbacks are going to be playing with a DH all season. The Diamondbacks have a 60-player pool that they can choose from. How come Yasmani Tomas cannot get a look? It seems like if there was ever a scenario where he would have a possibility to contribute, this would be it.
Yeah, you would think so, and it's possible that they could add him later on. I mean, the 60 that they start with does not necessarily have to stay the 60 that they finish with, but it sure seems like they've kind of moved on from him, and I think they're looking at using the DH as a way to get some of their regulars a rest. It's a way to get Jake Lamb's bat in the lineup. They can get Ketel Marte off his feet a little bit and spare him from having to play infield for a day or two and get him, keep his bat in the lineup, which is going to be important. So, you know, they also have Kevin Crone, who has a similar skill set to Tomas in terms of, you know, he's a big guy, he hits for power, plays similar positions. So I think given all those factors, that's probably why Tomas was left off.
Do you know, will the Diamondbacks have to play with the roof open this season?
Great question. I don't know that. I don't think so, because I think the workouts have had the roof closed.
Right.
So I'm assuming that they will keep it closed. Just thinking, it takes me back to my covering the Phoenix Firebirds AAA days here in the heat.
Uh-huh.
Out of old Phoenix Muni. But, yeah, I think that they will have the roof closed. I don't think that's going to be an issue for them.
Well, listen, here's where I want to go with that. I saw videos of them attempting to pipe in artificial crowd noise at Wrigley. Some people go nuts about this, like it's really the most communist thing you can do, right? I don't understand that, because I saw a video of a foul ball at Chase Field, and when it plunked the upper deck, it just sounded grotesque. Right? What are they going to do about ambiance at Chase Field? Granted, there's no fans there, but are they going to put in some artificial noise?
They have talked about that. They have talked about how best to simulate some crowd noise. You'll be relieved to know that players will still get their walk-up music when they come up, which I find really funny. And as a fan, I totally get what you're saying about, you know, the ball bouncing around. It sounds horrible. But I almost hope there's not piped-in crowd noise, because I think it would be fascinating to be able to hear more about what goes on between the dugouts and what you might pick up, speaking of keeping your finger on the dump button. especially for TV, if you could pick up, you know, the chatter that goes on between the two dugouts or, you know, whatever it might be, I think that would be kind of fascinating. But I think a lot of teams are going to try to simulate some noise. Just because it's such a foreign thing for players to have zero fans and zero noise.
All right, let's just hope we get to the starting line on this. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's always my pleasure, guys. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to mask up.
You got it, bro. Be well. Steve Gilbert, MLB.com, covers the Diamondbacks. He's been doing a great job for many, many years. Listen, there are a couple things about that. It's really going to be just about that. If you get to the starting line, I think it's going to change everything. If you can start playing baseball, it just can that happen.
Well, what are we saying about Craig Counsell? Not even thinking about the season that starts in 2 weeks, Craig?
Right.
That one? Jeez.
Right.
And then the fact that he said that he's expecting Cole Calhoun to come back.
All right.
That's negative.
Yeah, exactly. That's good, too. You're right. I should have brought that up. All right. Is Bryson DeChambeau using steroids? Apparently, Brooks Koepka wants to know. We'll tell you about that next. Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome back, Dan Bickley, Jarrett Carlin. One of the great stories so far of the pandemic as it relates to sports would be the story of Bryson DeChambeau in golf, a guy who was just a meticulous weirdo last year that nobody liked on tour. He came back looking like the Incredible Hulk, and now he is hitting a golf ball farther than a human being has ever hit a golf ball. And it's a freak show that's hard not to watch. Watching him tee off, I watched a video, a compilation of all of his drives of this last golf tournament. What was it, the Rocket Mortgage this past weekend?
Yep, yeah.
Okay, I watched a video compilation of it, and the amount of people on the course who were following him, just the workers and everybody, he was the show. And you can tell even fellow pros are astounded by what he's doing. He hit a drive so far, Jarrett Carlin, that it was caught by the green cam, the camera that CBS employs to just broadcast the green and what's right around it. And it's really been absolutely remarkable. And what he did was so incredible, and what he's been doing has been so incredible, that a writer from Yahoo Sports, I think his name was Dwight Janes, wrote a piece saying, why is no one asking the obvious question? Why is everyone assuming that you can go from looking like Bryson DeChambeau did last year to this year by eating 2 protein shakes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 6 a day? Are we being ridiculous?
Yes!
Here? You think so?
I mean, you can't accuse anybody of doing something like that without any proof. But if you're just purely going by body transformations, and the fact that he looks unlike any other golfer on tour. I never heard of him. Mm-hmm. That first week, when the first tournament that came back, when we were all on the show, we were watching it, I remember saying, who the heck is this guy? This guy looks ridiculous. I might have even texted you guys and said, Bryson DeChambeau looks like a monster.
Yeah.
And the fact that he didn't always look like that is very curious, especially because there's this weird 4-month off window in between where who knows what could happen, where they probably weren't being tested. And who knows? I mean, we saw Brooks Koepka, who is now one of the biggest names on the PGA Tour, without any context. He didn't add anything. He didn't even write anything. But he put a GIF implying, sort of subtweeting this whole entire thing. Mm-hmm. Of Danny McBride's character from Eastbound and Down, you know, gooned up on steroids.
Right. Well, to kind of like paint a fuller picture of what Brooks Koepka was getting at, here's what it is. Bryson DeChambeau, during last weekend's tournament, famously erupted at a cameraman. So what Brooks Koepka is doing is he's kind of drawing a picture to roid rage, as showed by Kenny Powers in this clip of him confronting steroid allegations, which he did by attacking a cameraman. So Brooks Koepka is really, you talk about trying to make a statement without making an actual statement. So this is fascinating here. This would tell you that Bryson DeChambeau, for all the oohs and ahs that he's eliciting on a course and from people watching, there's some heavy suspicions here. Now, Brooks Koepka might be jealous, because up until Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka was the guy that was, have you seen the size of that guy? That guy's like a middle linebacker, right? And in fact, these two guys have feuded in the past. Brooks Koepka used to be all over Bryson DeChambeau for his terrible pace of play. And at one point in time, they were feuding to the point where somebody mentioned, hey, you know, you guys might end up fighting. And Bryson DeChambeau last year said, yeah, no, he'd kick my backside. But not now. So
what you're saying is he's been working out to fight him.
Maybe.
He's going to challenge him now to go to Fight Island.
Brooks Koepka also has a guy. He's got a trainer and a training method that is at the root of this. I don't have the guy's name in front of me, but once again, when you look at other situations in sports, sometimes those guys, Biogenesis, yeah. What is it?
What was that guy's name, the Barry Bonds guy?
Yeah, what was that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about here. So it's that. And then Tom Brady's got a guy that was banned from the team playing. So Brooks Koepka.
Greg Anderson?
Yeah, that's who it was.
The Balco guy?
That's the Balco guy.
That guy was a good friend of Barry Bonds. He like went to prison, like mafia style, to like protect them. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. That's now, right. He was.
So how, because we've never had a big steroid cheating scandal in golf.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure you've heard the rumors about Tiger Woods and HGH.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh boy,
because Tiger Woods, look at what how Rory McIlroy looks compared to the way he looked when he came onto tour. Nobody has done what Bryson DeChambeau has done, and there are a lot of people going, okay, is this effective? Is he reinventing the way to play golf? And if so, will other players and athletes follow that path? Get enormously big and bulk.
Well, you remember when Tiger Woods first came up, they had to tiger-proof the courses. Tiger kind of did the strategy where if I hit my drive long enough,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really matter that much where it goes, because I'm such a good player, first of all, but also I'm taking so much out of it by just hitting the ball really far that I can adjust on my next shot, even if it's a little bit in the rough or something.
Right, that's right, because you're using a very lofted club that is easy to get out of that stuff.
Right, so now... I mean, if these guys are even going well, Bryson DeChambeau is hitting drives like those guys in the long drive contests.
He is. And those guys in the long drive contest, the reason why they're not pro golfers is they can't hit that thing straight consistently.
Right. Yeah, they have a big, 50-yard wide.
Right.
The thing also, though, is that I always never knew how much bulk actually helped you that much in golf. Because a lot of it is technique.
Well,
a lot of it is torque.
It's torque, it's lower body strength.
Hitting the ball exactly the right way.
Weight transfer, it's squaring up. Yeah, it's a lot of different things. Uh-huh.
So not necessarily every golfer, if they put on 50 pounds of bulk, wouldn't necessarily make them all better players.
No, because you still have to have a swing you can repeat consistently. And that's what he's been able to do. He's been able to bulk up and swing as hard as he can and keep the ball in play. And that's a credit to him. I don't know if the style of play can be copied. I know it's a ton of fun to watch, But there's that question now that this is the way we reacted to Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. And, you know,
not quickly enough, though.
22 years later, we're watching a documentary on how false it all was.
That's right. So Long Gone Summer Part 2 by Bryson DeChambeau. But here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Golf at this point is pretty desperate for the next superstar. Let's suppose this guy does start winning. Let's suppose because of the way he looks and the way he plays, it starts getting national attention, starts getting outside interest.
I think it's happening.
If you're the PGA Tour, the last thing you absolutely want is a scandal or something.
So
I wonder how much they would work to protect him.
Well, and then along those lines, what exactly is Brooks Koepka doing? If he doesn't have proof, how can he do something like that? He doesn't name him by name, but it's pretty obvious
what he's doing. It's so vague, but it's something that it's so without context that he tweeted that it could only mean this thing.
It could only mean that thing.
And like I'll love for him. This is what like an NBA player would do. Is today he'll come out and he'll say, "Oh no, I was watching. I was binge watching Eastbound and Down on HBO during the quarantine. It's my favorite show. So I just wanted to had nothing to do with it."
Except Brooks Koepka heretofore has been a pretty stand up guy. I doubt he'd be stand up about this. But if you were the PGA Tour, you would recognize exactly what you said. This is exactly the guy we need. Because what do we got? We got Ian Poulter.
Oh, now we're talking. Oh.
That's all you got.
Yeah, talk about a lot of protein.
All you got is flatulence. You ask guys for personality. None of them will wear a mic. None of them will say anything remotely interesting. As you pointed out, very few of them have a personality that's even remotely compelling. You ask these guys to exude and show some ebullience and some emotion, and what do you get? You get a big fart on the TV. That's what you get.
Yes.
And so now if you're the PGA Tour, you got to be tickled about this, and you got Brooks Koepka throwing hate. And the other thing, too, is a guy like Brooks, everybody used to complain about Tiger Woods. Nobody ever would acknowledge how much money Tiger Woods made all those guys by taking the purses that used to be here and putting them up in the stratosphere.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the same thing is true with Bryson DeChambeau. You're right on the money when you say golf needs a guy like this so badly, because what do they got? They got Tiger Woods, who never plays, and they've got Phil Mickelson, who's 50.
Hey, let's face it, though. If he's the villain, that's also good. If he keeps yelling at officials and yelling at things like that, if other golfers keep taking shots at him, that's also good. That also draws eyeballs.
Yeah, listen, and here's the other thing, too, about steroids in golf, okay? If you, or HGH in golf, PEDs in golf, you can hit the ball 350 now off the tee box. You still got to navigate that final 75 yards.
Yep.
And that requires a short game. And so that means you got to have a lot of skill. So in baseball, that kind of power might lead you to hit a home run every three at-bats, like Barry Bonds.
Six protein shakes are not going to help your putting.
No, it won't. Or your chipping, or your pitching, or your bunker play, all that stuff. And so that's the trick of this here, is that you got to do more than that. You've got to keep finessing your game even when you become the Incredible Hulk. It's good. It makes golf interesting, so at the very least, I'm very happy about that. All right, we're halfway through today's show. The Bickley Blast next. Stick around. We're back right after this.